God Almighty, as we gather here this morning, we want to be people who are filled with you, who recognize that you are the sovereign one of the universe, who can declare that we want you to receive all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Help us to be guided by your Spirit so we're seeing things from your perspective. Help us to see the things that you're doing and join you in those things. We ask that your Holy Spirit would activate your word and your word would transform us. We invite your word to be a knife in our life. A knife that cuts, a knife that does surgery, a knife that does your restoring work in us. Remove, cut out those things that need to be cut out. And bring healing to those areas that need to be healed. So that we're walking close with you and bringing you glory in everything that we do. Would you join me in the Lord's Prayer? And as we pray, particularly pay attention to what you're saying as you conclude the prayer. Where we talk about kingdom and about power and about glory and about forever and about amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. For thine is the kingdom. For thine is the power. For thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen. For those of you who are in my confirmation class, your notes today, 5 A's. Okay? Even if you think you got all 15 turned in, go ahead and write this one down. 5 A's. In fact, the rest of you can get this too. We're going to look at 5 A's as we conclude this Lord's Prayer. Now, first a comment about your Bible. In some of your Bibles, as you look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, where the Lord's Prayer comes to its conclusion, some of your Bibles will have this last sentence, and some of them won't. There's a reason for that. Bible publishers and the translators look at all the available manuscripts. There's actually over 24,000 ancient manuscripts from about 100 AD up through the 15th century when the printing press started. 24,000 pieces or parcels or portions of the Bible that have been discovered and kept. It's the most well-kept of any ancient piece of literature. Because it's not just human literature, it's God's word that he has preserved and transmitted and caused to be kept and passed on. It's amazing the amount of evidence there is for the truthfulness, the historicalness of the scriptural text. But there are some ancient texts, ancient manuscripts, that don't have that line in it. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, amen. And some of the later ones do. A lot of the later ones do. So the translators look at that and say, well, what do we do with that? We're not absolutely certain about that line. So I think they do a real honest thing. Most of them put it in the footnotes and say, this was not in some of the oldest manuscripts, but it is in the rest of them. So that gives us confidence in the Word of God. We can say that we've got this text passed down to us, and we know pretty certain that it's been passed down accurately. This might be one instance where a doxology, a conclusion, a statement of praise was put in to the text. Now, whether that's true or not, that it was part of the original or added in a little bit later, I don't think that should cause you alarm. In fact, I think the fact that the editors, translators, put that as a footnote gives you increase confidence in the veracity, the truthfulness of the Word of God. So if it's part of the original, then we pray it with full confidence. If it was an addition by the church a little bit later, how do we think about it? How do we pray it? Well, what I'd like you to see is that that line is biblical. That doxology is a biblical doxology. And we can pray that with great confidence. We're praying Scripture. Look at your Bibles. From Matthew, jump to Jude. Jude only has one chapter, so we'd call it June 1, verse 25. Verse 25 of the little letter we call Jude. Jude is right before Revelation in your New Testament. We'll start at verse 24, actually, so we get the context there. But some of the translators actually put a heading over it. This one puts the heading over it, doxology. What is a doxology? A doxology is a statement of praise. Doxa means praise or glory. The ology part is the part of the word from logos, which means word. So this is a word of praise. We sing a doxology at the end of our service most Sundays. It's a statement of praise. So here is a statement of praise, a doxology. Verse 24 of Jude says, "To him, to God, who is able to keep you from falling and present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy." And then verse 25, "To the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen." Sound pretty familiar? That's almost exactly like the doxology that's at the end of the Lord's Prayer. "For thine is the kingdom." What's that? That's majesty, authority. "And thine is the power." That's right there in this verse. "And thine is the glory." That's right there in this verse. "Forever and ever." That's right in this verse. Amen. That's right in this verse. So the doxology that we say as a conclusion to the Lord's Prayer is biblical. Either Jesus said it that way and it's translated into our Bibles, or the early church took it from Jude and put it at the end of a prayer, because most of the time we like to end our prayers. And what a great way to end our prayer. In case you're wondering if that statement is biblical, look at an Old Testament verse. Look at David's prayer in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, David is praying as a praise to God for the wonderful outpouring of generosity that has come about as he invited the people to give towards the construction of a place of worship for the temple to be built. The people brought an offering, and David celebrates what God has done in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We'll pick it up at verse 10. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, our Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." The same truths, the same concepts. As we pray, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." We know we're praying biblical things. Things that come right out of 1 Chronicles. Things that come right out of Jude. Things that are near and dear and part of God's plan for us to be interacting with him. Think about it in another way. Not only is that line like Jude and like First Chronicles. But isn't that line similar to the beginning of the prayer? We start off by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." When we say that, we're saying you deserve praise, you deserve adoration, you deserve glory. We're worshiping him. For thine is the glory. And when we say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," we're affirming that he indeed is the king of the kingdom. It is his kingdom. And we're saying that we want him to do that and that he can do that. So we're declaring that he's got all the power to do that. So it's actually a wonderful ending to this prayer because it mirrors the beginning of the prayer. I encourage you to pray this prayer every day this week. To spend time in prayer every day this week and somewhere in your prayer include these truths. For thine is the kingdom. For yours is the power. For you have all glory, and it's forever and ever and ever. Amen. What is the amen? You could translate amen as this: truly. Truly. Indeed, it is true. So as we back up then, let's look at the five A's we're going to talk about. We're looking at this line from Scripture, this ending to the Lord's Prayer, that's mirrored in Jude, that's mirrored in 1 Chronicles, that mirrors the beginning of the prayer. Let's note five A's. First of all, for yours is the kingdom. In other words, he's got all authority. Authority. When we pray and when we wrap up our prayers and we're trying to put our prayers in the right part of our thinking, we want to remember that he's got all authority. For yours is the kingdom, God. We declare that both as a statement of praise, we're adoring him with that, but we're also reminding ourselves. Each of these terms, each of these parts of this prayer, are both statements directed to him as an adoration statement, but then it's also a reminder to ourselves. He's got all authority, so we praise him for that. He's got all authority, so we can rest in that. Our prayers are lifted up because we know he's got authority, and the peace and the comfort and the well-being of our souls is increased as we recognize he does have authority. It is his kingdom. We might see bits and pieces of it not seeming to be brought under his full authority right now, but we know that one day all that will be changed. A time is coming when everything will be wrapped up. Everything that was in rebellion will be brought into submission. And his authority will extend perfectly. Another aspect of that, when we pray his kingdom or all authority is his, we're not only recognizing who God is, we're not only recognizing that we can have peace with the things that are not, but we're also reminding ourselves, it's not my authority. It's not my kingdom. I don't exist to build my kingdom. My goal in life is not to make my kingdom bigger, but to make his kingdom bigger. That's a hard thing to remember as we go through life on this planet and in this culture we live in, because most people are pretty big on building their own kingdom, extending their own reach, amassing more, controlling more, having more of an ability to dictate how things go in their life. But we're called to be people who build God's kingdom. And if you read through the many parables where Jesus describes the kingdom of God, it's the poor, it's the meek. It's the ones who give up and seek him that win. So God is all authority. We worship him in that. We rest in that. Secondly, we notice that God has all power. What's power? Power is the ability. Another A word for you, ability. God has all power. Not only does he have the authority, but he has now the ability. to do something with that. I heard an illustration of a traffic cop in the middle of a busy intersection in South American country where cars are zooming around like crazy. You get a little tiny policeman with his whistle and his uniform and his white glove. He's got authority to stand in that intersection and say, "You guys stop and you guys come through." He's got lots of authority to do that by the government. He's got very little power to stop that truck that's coming at him. It would run him over and smash him because he has no power, but he's got authority. And if he exercises it, people willingly submit to that authority in the most cases. But if you wanted that power to stop that truck, you need a great big boulder to fall off the cliff and land in the middle of that intersection. That boulder has the power to stop that truck. In your life, God has the authority and the power, the ability to do His will. He said in His final words of instruction to us, the Lord Jesus, "All authority is mine." And then in Acts chapter 1, He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." So authority is all His, and power is all His, and now He's dispensing that to us. So this prayer is both a statement of praise, you've got all power, but then it's also a reception of that for our own lives so that we can go through life as recipients of and then dispensers of His power to build His kingdom. His power to build His kingdom. There was a missionary serving in South America named Dr. Jackson. As he was on this missionary outpost, he was given a vehicle by a departing missionary. But the vehicle wouldn't start on its own. The only way to start it was to push it or to be on a hill and let it start rolling down. So for 2 years, he figured out ways to get around his missionary assigned areas with this vehicle. He either had to get a bunch of people to push it or to have gravity help him, or sometimes he just left it run. In some locations. 2 years he figured out how to get by with this vehicle, but then there was health issues that caused his family to need to leave, and there was a new missionary that came to that post. And so he was explaining to the new missionary about the car and about his plan and about how he utilized different things to get that car to start, and this new missionary had a little more mechanical aptitude and lifted the hood and looked underneath it, and even before the instructions were given on how to keep this vehicle moving and get it started in all these different locations, this new missionary said, "Well, there's a wire loose here to the starter." And he tightened it up and went inside and turned the key, and the starter kicked off and it started right up. That vehicle had the power all the time to crank that engine. It just wasn't connected. Do you relate to that at all? God's got all power. He's given His power to you. But so often we try to access it and turn the key and nothing happens. And it's not that the power is not there or that God's power is not powerful enough. It's that we're not connected. See, I believe when we pray, "All power is yours, God," we're not only worshiping in that, but we're putting ourselves in a position to receive. We're opening up our hands. We're connecting to Him. We're allowing Him to fill us. And we're spending time in intimacy with Him so that His power is flowing into us. And then can crank things up. Can reach out to people in need. Can change situations that we encounter. Can empower our prayers, can empower our ability to withstand temptation, can empower our ability to tap into His provision. So daily bread is coming, cleansing from sin is coming, deliverance from the evil one is coming. All these aspects of the Lord's Prayer are ours as we recognize His power and tap into His power as we're connected to Him. So all authority is His, all ability is His, and lastly, all adoration is His. We say, "Yours is the glory, God. Yours is the glory." We're adoring Him. We're recognizing His worth. We're recognizing that He is above all. He is worthy of all. He is the Holy One, the perfect One. In fact, there are places where His glory and His holiness seem to be interchangeable. He's totally without blemish. He's totally without contamination. He is completely pure, completely good. And He is the one that's over all and in all and through all. And He's the one that's created everything, sustaining everything, and ministering to people, drawing them into a relationship with Him. So He's the one that gets all glory. Sometimes our sight drops down to the mundane, to the things that aren't very glorious. And when we do that, when we drop our gaze, our perspective is so small. Max Lucado, in his book, The Great House of God, quoted a sociologist. The sociologist accompanied a large group of mountain climbers on an expedition. And he observed, among other things, that there was a direct correlation between cloud cover and contentment. When there were no clouds to eclipse the mountaintop, the climbers were optimistic, were joyful, were content in their process of climbing, interacted with each other in a more gregarious, light, encouraging way. But when the clouds rolled in, when they could no longer see the mountaintop, when their vision was clouded and blocked, when their vision was just down on the rocks in front of them, then they started interacting differently. No longer as helpful, no longer as content, no longer as so joyous in their interaction. And I believe that you and I need a constant prayer going on in our lives where we're saying, "Thine is the glory." And as we pray that, have our vision lifted up to recognize the greatness of God, the purity of God, the perfection of God, the grandeur of God, the largeness of God. Because when we see Him ever increasing amounts of His glory, we're lifted up out of the mundane stuff we're stuck in. We've got aches and we've got pains. We have needs for surgeries and medicines. And sometimes we need someone to pick us up and encourage us as our spirits get low. But mostly what we need is to see God. One of the reasons worship is so important, and I greatly appreciate our youth group leading us in worship. And you did a wonderful job, leaders and youth, in picking songs that matched well about the kingdom and the glory and the power. When we declare those truths, we start to think about them again. And our vision is picked up. Let me encourage you to be one who worships regularly and frequently throughout the day, starting the day, ending the day, through the mid-hours of the day, be praisers, worshipers, adorers, ones who recognize the glory of God. For as you recognize the glory, it puts you in the proper perspective with God. You're seeing things from His point of view. Authority is His. All ability is His. All adoration belongs to Him. And then we end the prayer with an always. Always. Forever and ever. Always. All times. God is the one who has the authority and the ability and deserves all adoration. Always. Not just once in a while. Not just every Sunday. But all the time. Forever and ever. From every time past to every time future. Always God is in charge. Always God is perfect. Always, God is merciful. Always, God deserves our praise and adoration. Always, He's got the power necessary to change situations and change hearts. All the time. And lastly, number five, amen. It's true. It is true. That word has a Hebrew root. It came to mean simply something that is undoubtedly true. Eugene Peterson, in his Message translation of the Bible, tried to put everything in a most modern way of saying it, almost shockingly simple many times. When he puts this phrase in Matthew chapter 13, it's yes. Yes. You've got all these things, God. The ability, the strength, the might. And it's for always. And it's yes. It is true. And so we remind ourselves as we conclude our prayer and say this doxology part of it, that God has these truths to be forever real to us. It is the truth. Sometimes our prayers become laundry lists. Sometimes our prayers are attempts to manipulate God and jerk the chain and make Him do something. That's why it's so good to end your prayers with a doxology, a statement of praise, adoring the truths about Him, reminding ourselves of the truths about Him. He does have the authority. He has all ability. He is worthy of all adoration. It is always the case. Amen, it's true. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer again. As we come to that ending line, let it resonate deep inside and then be repeated through your life this week. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.